Mark chapter 5. Tonight we did kick off the Help for You recovery program. It's a little exciting getting that thing off the ground, and a lot of work behind that. We appreciate your prayers for that as we're trying to reach people for the Lord. It's the program's designed, I'll just give you a little idea about what it is. It's designed to help people, anybody who either needs to overcome sin. It's not just for drug addicts, it's for anyone who's struggling with any kind of sin, any kind of sinful habit, or people who just want to grow in the Lord as Christians. And so we've kind of taken this program and made it what we want for our own church. And we want it's as much of a discipleship program and a program designed to get people to grow in the Lord as much as it is to reach out to win souls through the addiction part of it. So the Sunday school, I encourage the bus captains, really push hard to get some of your new converts out into the class for Sunday school, because we're going to really cover some of the most basic things that are needed in the Christian life, everything from how to pray to the importance of growing as a Christian. We'll hit baptism early on, and the whole idea of the battle between the flesh, the world, and the devil. People need to know that. They need to know how to overcome that. And so I encourage you to get people out for that. And, of course, those who want to dig deeper into the lessons and the books and things like that, then get them out here on Thursdays at 6:15. All right. Mark chapter number 5. I want to preach along the lines of our program. It's not, the title of the message is not Help for You. It's Delivered from Darkness. Delivered from darkness, and I hope it'll be a challenge to every one of us in here, not just for, you say, oh yeah, that's good for so-and-so. It's good for every one of us, and I hope you'll take this familiar account and really let the Lord speak to you from it. And again, I hope it'll be a help and a challenge. Let's read in Mark chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Well, that's another way to say a demon. You could say unclean spirit, an evil spirit, a fallen angel, a demon, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we, meaning the demons, are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll take this familiar story to us, this true account. Help us to learn some very important lessons. Lord, we are living in a society that is so obsessed with wickedness and evil. It's all around us. Lord, help us to open our eyes and see how the devil and his demons and his influences are alive and well and some cases are even influencing our own lives and families. Help us to see it and then seek deliverance from you. I pray you'll speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This world is in terrible condition. Our text provides us one of the numerous accounts that Jesus dealt with demon-possessed people. You're always seeing Jesus casting demons out of people. Have you ever wondered whatever happened to all the demons? I mean, it was so common in Jesus' day. What happened to the demons? They just go away? Now, I'm not a great mathematician, but I was in Revelation chapter 5, it tells us about how many angels are surrounding the throne. Chapter 5, verse 11, it says there's 10,000 times 10,000, then thousands of thousands. So 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million angels surrounding the throne in heaven. And then he says thousands and thousands. Well, 1,000,000 is a million. So it's thousands and thousands, meaning just and many more millions. Okay? So there's many, 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 many angels up in heaven. How many fell? A third of all the angels. So if there's over, you know, let's just say there's 120 million in heaven. We don't know. But just say there's 120 million. I'm just trying to get you some thinking. If there's 120 million, well, that's two-thirds. So half of that would be a third, right? 60 million. Take that, divide it by the 7 billion people on planet Earth, and what you end up with is about 117 people on Earth per demon. Maybe one in every neighborhood. But we know that they're not all roaming around planet Earth. We also know that some are reserved in chains in under judgment. So how many are on Earth? I don't know. So why are you telling us all that? To scare us? No. I'm trying to get us to see one thing, that Satan's forces are often underestimated. It could be that there's a demon for every 200 or 300 or 1,000 people. How many demons do you want running around? And I'm not trying to get you to see a demon behind every bush either. That was the devil. No. I just want you to understand, there's no wonder we're living in such a dark, wicked world, because this world, who's the god of this world? It's Satan. Small letter G, the god of this world, the Bible calls him. I want to look at a couple of things. First of all, I want you to see the darkness of Satan, the darkness of Satan. Satan is so active, he's influencing multitudes. Multitudes. People are intrigued by demons, aren't they? We're living in a society, they love it. They love it. You look at Harry Potter. They love the books, they love the movies. Then they got all the vampires. They love the zombies. All these demonic games that they have out there, which include casting spells and all of this. People are infatuated because demonism has power. Satan has power. There's this mystery about this darkness out there. And we're living in a world that's fascinated with this stuff. You know, they do have power. Look in verse number 4. Because that, talking about this man who had the demons here, he said that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And neither could any man tame him. So they chained him up, and he just popped him. Now, I don't think there's anybody in here, if you tie him up, unless they get a demon, they're going to be popping the chains. What? They have power. It is true the devil has power. We've seen the devil's power and the power of demons on the mission field. I mean, I remember this one girl. I've seen, not this girl, I saw some guy putting on a show in the middle of the street one day. This one of the madmen in town. And, man, he was doing some things that you just can't do. And I was, whoa, I'm getting out of here. And we've seen people in, you know, getting all crazy. There was one young lady, teenager, her name was Miriam, and she started having some problems, and of course I went over there, my wife had gone over there, and she was very distant. She had this glazed look on her face, just, she wasn't there. She wouldn't talk, nothing. It's just something really weird. The family figured that she had demons, so you know what they did? They took her to the witch doctor. Good place to take someone who you think has demons, and that next thing you know, she's dancing with the witch doctor. And then it wasn't long after that, she's dead. I'm just telling you, the demons have power. They're very destructive. They want to destroy people. And this isn't just in Africa, it's in America. The demon-possessed man from Gadara provides some wonderful, not nice lessons, but from some very insightful lessons on how Satan works. Now, this is an extreme case, okay? This is a man who was demon-possessed. And we certainly see how the devil seeks to influence us in several different areas. There's six different areas I see from the passage how the devil will try to influence your life. Not just the demon-possessed guy. So I'm not saying that if you're influenced in any way here that we're talking about, I'm not saying that you're possessed by a demon. I'm simply trying to say these are the areas that the devil likes to attack people in. And I want you to see. He'll attack, first of all, mentally. Look in verse number 15. The Bible says, and they were come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his what? He was in his right mind now that he was with Jesus. But obviously before he met Christ, he was not in his right mind. The devil attacks the mind. You don't do a thing unless you first thought it. Your sin starts with your thoughts. And when your thought life is messed up and you don't get it cleaned up, and you get let it get affected by the world and by the god of this world, the devil, and his demons, when you don't make sure your mind is straight and you allow bad thoughts to stay in your mind, eventually they will become actions. Satan attacked this man's mind. What about this man at the D.C. Navy Yard recently who killed people? They said that he had a mental illness. They also said that the reports were that he had heard voices. Mental illness or demonism? People are unstable these days. People are depressed. People are on heavy medications to make them feel better. They can't deal with their stress. Now listen, I'll tell you, I've gone to a lot of doctors. A lot of doctors. I've seen every kind of different type of doctor. Well, maybe not every kind. But I've seen a lot of different kinds of doctors. And I'll tell you one thing that they want to give you. They want to give you antidepressants for about anything. I remember going to, my stomach was messed up. He said, you need an antidepressant. He didn't say antidepressant. He said, you need this. I said, what's that? Antidepressant. Now you read what these antidepressants, you read all the side effects. One of them is depression. It is. Read it. And they'll have all these warnings. If you experience suicidal thoughts, please stop this medication and see your healthcare professional. Now, wait a minute. I might be dumb, but I'm not that dumb. And I have a stomach ache. Okay? I don't need an antidepressant. You know, and they kept, you know, and I said, listen, I'm not taking your stuff. All they want to do, I'm telling you, people are so medicated. How do you think one of the ways you open the door for the devil in anyway is, one of the ways is through these substances? Now listen, my wife, she takes medicine every day. She had her thyroid removed and she has that little supplement to make sure that she has enough whatever that stuff, Synthroid, in her body so she can function. It's not going to alter her brain. You know, it's not opening doors to demons. You know, if you got high blood pressure, you know, if you can't cut off your salt, take your pill, okay? Don't die on us. But what I'm saying is people are addicted on all of these antidepressants, these prescription pain medicines and all that. We don't need it. I would rather go through a lot of pain than be hooked on drugs. It messes with people's minds, and Satan loves to disturb the mind, even the minds of Christians who stray from God. He loves to put bad thoughts into people's minds, suspicions. That person looked at you because they're really thinking this. Do you know why they said this? Do you know why they didn't wave to you? Oh, yeah. Bitterness, hatred, envy. These are all attacks of the mind. You say, And I can see that the devil had messed with this maniac, this man, this demon-possessed man. But does he not try some similar tactics with us? Secondly, we see that the devil likes to affect us physically. In verse number 5, look what it says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. That doesn't sound very comfortable. There's some stones. Cuttings and bleedings. Demons love to influence people to hurt themselves. He loves to influence people to hurt themselves. Now, for those of you who are unaware, this idea of cuttings here, that's actually a common practice in the world now. It's real popular among teenagers. They're cutting themselves. They're cutting themselves. Health agencies call it a mental illness. Some of them call it a disorder. But we see who the instigator of it is right here in the Bible. You know, if they just read the Bible, they'd figure out where it came from. This is nothing new. This is the devil. He's working in our society. What about suicide? That's on the rise. Seems like it's always on the rise. I don't know when it's going to stop rising. Teen suicide, they say, is rising. You know who else? The new trend for who the fastest growing rates of suicide is? It's among the elderly. Maybe they don't want to deal with Obamacare. I don't know what it is. Really, it's true. What about our military personnel? They come from home overseas and boom, people are shooting themselves up all the time. We have a problem. Our society's messed up. In the Bible, we read how demons try to wound people, throw people into the fire, drown people. And if you've ever had thoughts of harming yourself, I can tell you where it comes from. There's a devil out there who'll put that thought in your mind. He wants to hurt people physically. And where does the thought of suicide ever come in? You know, that's one of the most selfish things a person could ever do. It's all about themselves. They don't care about anybody else. But where do they get that thought? Now, let's drive it home. Have you ever had that thought? Where'd it come from? We need to get people to Jesus before we see a lot more people self-destruct. And if the devil's been working on you, you need to get some help. He, the devil, will affect us mentally, physically, and emotionally. Look in verse number 5 again. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. Crying. Man, again, I talked about antidepressants. Why are people on antidepressants? Not just because they have a stomachache. There's a lot of people who can't cope with life. The demon-possessed man, he was in tears. The devil loves to get people depressed. Do you fight that? You know, they sat, this man out in the wilderness, out in the tombs, he wasn't happy. He was in tears. Go back to these people who cut themselves. You know why a lot of the people who cut themselves do it? It makes them feel better. I've not done this before, so I'm just telling you. It makes them feel better. And a lot of them are battling depression because they're emotionally unstable. Now, two ways Satan can cause us to get depressed. And there's probably more, but I'm just giving a couple. You know, when we start looking within all the time, you're going to get pretty discouraged when you keep looking at yourself. Because if you're anything like me, I don't like looking at me very often. Because I know what I am. And if you're always looking on focusing on your problems, listen, God doesn't want us looking at ourselves all the time. God doesn't want us looking at our problems all the time. The Bible says in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. which made heaven and earth, the great God who created everything, he can create help for me. He can help me in my problem. He can help you. Now, has the devil brought darkness into your life? He always wants to rob us of the light that Jesus Christ wants to give us. I'm saying that this is not just, think about it. The average lost person in the world, the more and more you get out there and the more you knock on doors and the more you get to talk to people and the more people you get to know people, people's lives are a train wreck. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable what's going on out there. And you walk away and say, man, is everyone like this? If so, why? We got our work cut out for us. But it's not just all the people who need help. It's the devil is going to attack us in the same ways. We need God's help. We need deliverance. No doubt there's people in here who need to be delivered from some of these oppressions that Satan's put into your life. You know what else he does? I've seen this. Not only mentally, physically, emotionally, but how about this one? Socially. Look in verse number 3 with me. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. He had his dwelling among the tombs. A couple different ways you can see how the devil will attack us socially. You know, he didn't live around people, did he? He withdrew. You know, I'll tell you what the devil likes to get people to do. He likes you to withdraw. Just pull back. Pull back from fellowshipping with the brethren. Pull back from work parties. Pull back from ministries. Just keep pulling back. Just withdraw yourself a little more. That's not God. The Bible teaches we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Well, I'm in church. Yeah, but are you the last one in and the first one out? God wants us to be around each other, to love one another, to help one another, to care for one another. And you can't get the help you need when you withdraw. And you can't be a help and a blessing to other people when you withdraw. You need others and others need you. And it's a miserable existence when we're focused on our problems all the time. And we all have problems. When we just sit home and suck our thumb, it doesn't get any better. We need to get busy. Now, his dwelling was where? Among the tombs. Think about that. He lived with dead people. There's something messed up with that. There's really something wrong. You want to live with dead people. Now, I mentioned zombies. I'm not real up on the world here, but you know, I was trying to figure out what are zombies. You know, I'm supposed to know this stuff, but I they're dead people. They're dead people that come back and rule the earth and have all these powers. It's demonism, but they're dead people, and they love it. They're fascinated with dead people. They're socially messed up, and that is from the devil himself. Now, let's take it and spiritualize that a little bit for a moment. What about your friends? Are they dead people? When I say spiritually dead? Are they unsaved people and they're your best friends? The devil's affecting you. Well, maybe they're not lost, they're just not really vibrant Christians. Well, if they're not vibrant Christians, that means they're backslidden and they need to be revived. And if they need to be revived, that means they're missing some life. That means they're spiritually dead, in a sense, doesn't it? Are you comfortable with all the backsliders? Man, I fear for some young people. I really do. You better watch who your friends are. And us who are not as young, we better watch who our friends are too. Satan wants to influence you to withdraw from God's people. He wants you to influence you to get around those spiritually dead people. Socially, he will try to mess with you. The fifth way the devil will try to... We're talking about the darkness of Satan here. Now, this is not the most encouraging point. We'll get better as we get along here. He'll try to affect us morally. And you don't have to turn there. It's a parallel passage in Luke chapter 8, verse 27. It says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs." He wear no clothes. You know what? The man ran around naked, and the devil's always trying to get people to take their clothes off. And our society is filled with people who want to wear as little as they can out in public. The advertisements want to show as much skin as they can get away with legally. And pretty soon it'll be just like some places in Europe. It'll be everything. Our society is plagued with pornography, immodest dress. And what's the result? Fornication, adultery, rape, incest, the pedophiles. When a young lady puts on some revealing clothing, she's been influenced by the devil. I don't see it any other way. Why keep the rules? Yeah, is it revealing? You haven't kept the spirit of the rule. When men lust after women, you know, they've been affected by the devil. Now, I know immorality is a work of the flesh. I know that. But I also know that Satan runs this world system, and he fills our heads and our hearts with wicked images on a daily basis. We need to be protected from the devil's influences. He's going to affect us morally. And then spiritually, this is the sixth way. Spiritually, back in verse number 7 in Mark chapter 5, it says, "And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" What is he saying? What have I to do with thee? In other words, I don't want anything to do with you. What are you coming around me for? The name of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, it disturbed this man. And you know, the devil loves to create an aversion to God. He loves to get people away from the Bible. He loves to get people, if they do come to church, not to listen. And unfortunately, we see this aversion springing up in some young people sometimes. They don't want to read their Bible in the morning. They don't want to pay attention in family devotions. They don't want to pay attention when they come to church. You just kind of look around. Who's the author of such spiritual darkness? The devil is at work. We better understand how he's working. Now I want to show you, I think we'll switch gears here a little bit. Not only the darkness of Satan, let's look at the deliverance by the Savior. Now we get to the good news. 2 Timothy 2:26, I'll just read this to you. It says, And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. God wants us to recover from the snare of the devil. We don't have to stay in the trap. You know, when we get saved, we're set free from sin. You're free. Now, what kind of guy who gets free from prison goes back the next day and says, "Hey, can you lock me up for a few more days? Something's wrong." But there's something wrong when God set us free from sin and we decide to go back to that sin and become a slave to that sin all over again. Amen. Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness," this power we just talked about, how he's going to mess with our mind, our bodies, and everything. He wants to destroy every facet of our lives. And yet Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness. And God's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God delivers. Man, thankfully, this demon-possessed man didn't stay in his condition. And we don't have to either. We don't have to. No person has to continue the way they were. In verse 15, everything was different. He was sitting. He wasn't running around. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind. And it shocked everybody so much that they were afraid. What's going on here? Now, how did this all happen? How did they get delivered? You know, we has every once in a while someone will say, does your church practice deliverance? Now, I get that a lot in Zambia. Do you guys practice deliverance? Yeah, Jesus, delivery from your sin. But I know what they mean. We had someone show up here the anniversary Sunday night. And JR, thankfully, and Nicole got me stuck out there talking to somebody. I'm teasing. Settle down. Someone's asked me, do you guys practice deliverance? We know someone's got some problems. Do you have deliverance? Probably not the kind of deliverance you're talking about. But you know what? God does deliver. How did this man get delivered? First of all, it was regeneration. He met Jesus. It all starts with salvation. You know, maybe someone's here and they're not saved. You say, man, the devil's been messing my life up just like you've been talking about. You know, you can't change yourself in a permanent way. You can't reform yourself. That's why we have help instead of reformers. You need to be changed. No, really, you need to be changed within. You can't change yourself. We don't want you to reform. We want you to be transformed. I just didn't think calling the program Transformers was very good. Somebody already had that one, I guess. But in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not our own works that clean us up. But according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration. That idea of regeneration means making all things new, transforming. You can't transform yourself. You can't wash yourself. But God can do that. And part of the reason we have this Help for You program is to introduce people to Jesus so they can get saved. Man, there's no deliverance until they get saved, until they trust Jesus for their salvation. If you're not saved tonight, you should get saved. You should let Jesus come in and take care of the sin problem. No matter what your problem is, the solution is receiving Jesus into your life so he can change you. But not just that. What did this man do? How was he delivered? He was regenerated, first of all. Then secondly, he was renewed. And if you are saved, perhaps your problem is not salvation. You already got that. You're just not getting renewed like you ought to. This world is wicked. And the devil's bearing down on us. And we have got to get some help from the Lord. What did this man do? He was sitting. Where was he sitting? He was sitting with Jesus. He was spending time with Jesus. And you know what's going to fix your problems? You spending time with Jesus. It's just not talk. When I'm having problems, I got to go. I got to get away from people. I got to get in my Bible and spend time with God. He straightens things out for me. If you don't really get into your Bible, you're going to be defeated. And one of the greatest things about our program is that we're getting people into their Bible, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God. We're just getting people to do what they should be doing anyway. It's just a tool to get people to do what they're supposed to do. Sometimes we need those type of things to get us doing what we're supposed to do. It's not just for addicts. It's for anybody who wants victory over sin. Now, are you tired of being defeated? You need to get in the Word of God. Now, there's some people, they walk around talking about how bad they were before they got saved. You know, I didn't have the greatest of pasts. I'm not going to tell you how bad I was, okay? But when I was getting right with God, it was a real struggle. It wasn't easy. But I found something that would help me. I'll tell you what I did. Start going to church. At first, I didn't like it because that guy was preaching about stuff I didn't like. I was like, that's me. That's my problem. I guess sometimes I get angry at him. But then I keep coming. I started reading my Bible. And I started going to more church services. And then I started doing more things. I was memorizing Bible verses. I memorized more Bible verses in those early days. It helped so much. And then I had a 30-minute drive to work. So I listened to preaching tapes. I know younger generation, you don't know what a tape is. I listened to preaching tapes. And on the way home from work, I listened to preaching tapes. And I had a 30-minute drive to go to church on Wednesday nights. I listened to preaching tapes. And on the way home from church, 30-minute drive, I listened to preaching tapes. So where'd you get all those preaching tapes? Man, I used to spend my money on all sorts of bad things. I just bought preaching tapes instead. And I saturated my mind with the Word of God. I was messed up. Don't say you still are. But God's Word helps straighten things out. I spoke to someone recently who was inquiring about a program, and they have, anyway, I won't get into all the details, but I said, it really gets them in the Word, and he said, you know what? He said, that's all good. He says, I know they need the Bible. He said, but we need something more. I said, and this is supposed, it was a pastor. I said, we need something more? No, we don't. This is what we need right here. What more do you need? Maybe you're not working it the way you ought to. Maybe you're not hungry for the Word. The Word hasn't failed. I was dealing with a man real recently who just he got saved over the last few weeks. Now, let me tell you about his past. His past consisted of praying to Satan, hearing voices of demons, playing games that involve casting spells on people, listening to death metal. If you've ever heard death metal, it is like you just heard a demon. He told me, believe it or not, he told me he struggles in his mind. But you know what he told me? I didn't even have to tell him the verse. He told me, but when I read my Bible, my mind starts clearing up. He's got some battles ahead of him. But he's learning that the Word of God is powerful. Amen. And the Bible says in Ephesians, I had some verses, but we don't have time to get there. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 talk about how we're not supposed to walk as other Gentiles with their understanding darkened. That means saved people can live with a darkened understanding. Who darkens it? We allow Satan to. But he says later in verses 22 to 24 in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to get our mind cleaned up. If you're struggling in your thought life, you need to read the Bible, meditate on it, memorize it, live it. Jesus delivered the demon-possessed man through his word, and your deliverance is based on the same thing. He got delivered by the word. It's the only way you're going to get delivered. We need to protect our mind. We need to protect our home from the attacks of Satan. Now, if the Bible is going to renew us, and the Bible is going to protect our minds and straighten out our thinking, then what kind of a man doesn't want to have family devotions? Because he's going to let the devil come in and tear up his family. How can we not teach our children how to develop a devotional life when the devil's against them and we're not taking the time to actually teach them how to have devotions? Jesus said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. If you want to protect yourself from Satan's attacks, you've got to be spending time with Jesus. The last thing, and it's just quickly, is the dedication of the servant. We saw the darkness of Satan. We see the deliverance of the Savior. Praise the Lord. You can be delivered. And why did he deliver this man? So he go back to the sin? No. Why did he deliver us from our sin? So we could serve him. The man in our story was no longer a madman. He became a servant. And God's plan of delivering us is to serve him. That man, he was changed. He was changed. He obeyed the Lord. The Lord said, hey, in verse 19, he says, go home to thy friends. In verse 20, he departed. He went and did what God told him to do. You know, that's what happens when people get saved. They start obeying God. I think the guy got saved. And it didn't take him very long to figure out that he just needed to start obeying God. He wasn't hanging out with dead people anymore. He's hanging out with Jesus. Jesus said, go and witness. He's got a new purpose in life. He used to wander around doing nothing. Now he says, go home and tell your family and your friends. He says, okay, I'll go do that. You know, he had devils long time. That means he didn't always have them. He had a family. Can you imagine when he went back to his family and said, I'm home? They probably couldn't believe it. He told them what Jesus had done for him. That's what God wants us to do. This man had a tremendous change in his life, and it didn't take him years to reform. He got saved, and he changed. I know we will struggle with sin, but we can't have victory if we want it. And it all depends on how much time you spend with Jesus. I've seen people who come out of bad paths, and in a short time, they're on fire for God, serving God, and someone else who gets saved around the same time is just floundering and floundering. What's the difference? One's in the Word. One's spending time with God. And it's up to us if we want to be delivered from this darkness. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.